Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, the number one podcast that motivates you to be your best with conversations about business, fashion, and living the gentleman's lifestyle. We interview the hottest influencers, content creators, and business owners. And ladies, we know you're listening. This show isn't just for the fellas. It's about living your best life. And now, here's your host, award-winning author, entrepreneur, and modern-day gentleman, Richard Taylor. Hey, Rich, let's start the show.
Thank you for that introduction. And guys, welcome to another episode of The Life of a Gentleman. So glad you tuned in because today we're talking about something very important. And I want to ask you a question. How many of you are really invested into understanding financial literacy? The reason I ask that is because we've come across some information that was quite startling. And the fact is that really, it shows that 70% of Americans, now get this, 70% don't have $1,000 saved up. And if you're one of those, you really need to tune into today's show. Also, statistics are showing that only 24% of millennials have a basic understanding of financial terms or being financial literate. And we won't even get into credit scores and home ownership, which are things that really need to be on the rise. But sadly, a lot of times they're on the decline. But today we're going to fix all that. We have an expert coming on the show that is going to show you a lot of easy ways and some free tools that you can use to get things headed in the right direction. And it's really going to be helpful, and it's really so important to get a hold of your finances, especially if you're just exiting college or just starting a family, because you want to get yourself out onto the right track. So look forward to that. Also, we will be talking about sports season that is really kicking off. It's in full gear. Everybody's watching football. You have basketball training camp starting up in about a week. Baseball playoffs will be around the corner. So you're talking about college, pros, everything. And when you talk about sports, you always have to mix in style because that's a big part of it in the social media age that we're living in. So we'll be talking about that and actually how it relates to you, because everybody has a different body type. We go into how some of us are built like track athletes, some of us are built like football players, and some of us are built like basketball players. Some people are really tall and lengthy, but then how do you dress for those occasions? When you're trying to style yourself, how can you make yourself appear to be slimmer? Or in some cases, you may want to make yourself appear more athletic or bulkier. So we'll dive into that with an expert as well. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this show. It's a really well-rounded show. We are hitting on all three: fashion, business, and of course, lifestyle. And I really think you're going to love it. So what I'm going to do now is get into the interview portions of the show and get this started and get you this valuable information. I know I learned a thing or two, and I think you will also. Let's get into it right now.
Hey, gents, let's take a minute and talk some style and fashion. Our guest expert heats up social media with style and definitely can help us enhance our fashion sense. Whether we're a beginner or a style expert, we can always learn more. The style tip of the week is up next. Let's talk fashion, baby.
Troy Ruffell, a.k.a. The Genuine Article on Instagram. Welcome back. I'm happy to be back on the show. And, you know, we're in the sports season, so me and Richard would love to talk to you guys a little bit about things that we're seeing in the arenas and, you know, different guys and what they're wearing to the game.
Yeah, that's always an exciting topic for me. I pay attention to that. You know, the guys before and after the game, the NBA guys, the NFL guys. I mean, there's always the guys that stand out, like Russell Westbrook, you know, what he wears.
Yeah.
LeBron, I like Absolutely. His style. Who's one of your favorites? One of the athletes maybe that caught your eye?
Yeah, I like the way that LeBron dresses most of the time. You know, he does a really good job with his suits. The suit he wore, actually, that was one of my favorites, was when they released the school that he did. I thought that was a nice gray suit. I mean, the way that he put the glasses along with the tie, et cetera, that looked really good. The short suit he did over last summer when he did the final. That was I didn't love it at first, but now I think if I put my own twist on it, I could maybe pull that off next spring. But that should be continued on that.
I'll be waiting for it. Oh man, you know, it is fun to see the different styles, but one of the things that caught my eye too is the different body types, man. You gotta admit, like a guy like Giannis from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, he's pretty tall, slender. He can't do the same thing as like a defensive end, you know, in the NFL. So what are some of the different ways we can kind of accentuate what we have? Because we all have different body types, you know. Some of us look like a fullback, and then others of us, you know, are like a track star. So how can we accentuate? Yeah.
So for me personally, I'm a taller, slender guy, and I always get this comment, you know, like, oh, it looks great. I could never wear that stuff. And it's normally from guys that are a little heavier or a little older. And I always teeter in between, like, dang, was that like a backhanded compliment? Or
right.
So I think, it's true, though. It is true. You know, not everyone can pull off the same types of looks, skin tones, body types. That all comes into play. But to answer your question, a bigger guy, he's going to have to kind of live around different patterns than like a slimmer, taller guy. Even shorter guys. Like shorter guys can't really play around with really big window panes so much, just because sometimes it can start to look a little odd. And it's just really about the scale and the distribution. Like, so how much space do you really have? So kind of compared to a painting, you know, some paintings need to be larger because there's a lot more detail and the detail can get lost. And then some paintings can live and be smaller and just be just the same. So as a larger guy, you probably want to wear like a micro check, or like a subtle detail, like a herringbone or a faint window pane. That way it looks nice, it's easy on the eyes. It's not something where it's a little like, oh, that's a little too much, you know?
No, I totally get it. I mean, you really gave a good example with the painting thing and everything to scale. The window pane suit on a shorter guy, man, I kind of cringed. I definitely can understand that. There's always to be said, you know, people always said, you know, horizontal, vertical stripes, things like that. There's some truth to that then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like you saw the old ESPN commercial where CeCe Sabathia came in, or he was in the water room, and then the one guy, I forget his name, he came in with the fat suit on and he had like the vertical stripes, the horizontal stripes, and he goes, yeah, it's just swimming. And then they just looked at him like, dude, you look crazy.
yeah, I remember that one.
It's a funny, there's some truth to it, though, you know, like with shirts. Some guys will do stripes in order to kind of make themselves look a little slimmer. It kind of just takes away from it. And really what it is it's the scale of the pattern. And if it's distributed the right way on the shirt with your body type, it matches.
Okay, so you do have a little bit of leeway to play around with it, just depending on where you are with your size. But are there any things that some guys can do? I mean, you mentioned you're on the slimmer side, and at one time, many moons ago, I was there with you. Over time, you put on weight. But I used to hate being super skinny, to the point where I would look for ways to kind of appear, you know, more muscular or more have more mass to me. Is there anything you can do with patterns to work in your favor?
As a slimmer guy, you could do like the window pane. You could do the window pane suits, or you could do a pattern that's a little busier. But you always kind of want it to be pretty form fitting to your body. So I would say, you know, the a micro check, it kind of works in reverse like that too with a slimmer guy, because it really kind of, it kind of blurs the detail of your contour a little bit, and then you can kind of just see the silhouette of the suit. And if it's cut the right way for your body type, you'll look great no matter what anyway. You know, that's what it really comes down to, the cut of the suit,
the fit,
and the build versus the pattern so much.
All right, great, great. Yeah, so when you talk about fit and the cut of the suit, again, with the body types, there's certain things that some can do, some may not be advisable to do. Of course, one that sticks out, we mentioned the short suit. That's not for everybody. I don't think everybody can pull that.
Right.
Out. But
no.
How about the cut of the pants? I noticed a lot of guys, they kind of like the pants a little bit shorter, like maybe some of the ankle is showing, especially, you know, late in the summertime. I know we're transitioning to fall, but just as a heads up, if you're a different size, can everybody do that? Or is there some people that, maybe you need to stay away from that?
Yeah, it just depends how you want to do it. Because, I mean, even me being a slimmer, more a taller guy, like, I like my trousers to be a little shorter in the length. But then I have to wonder in the fall what socks I'm going to wear. Because obviously your socks are going to show more. And you want to make sure that that's another detail that you do have to kind of pay attention to. So I don't really think there's anything wrong with bigger guys doing that. I know some NFL players who do that really well. There's guys even that do no-show socks in the winter. And it's like, okay, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that's their thing. But, I tend to get cold, so I need that one sock. But, I don't think there's not really a yes or no to a guy really wearing a shorter length on the trouser. If a guy wants to show some ankle, you know, he just has an extra step in his wardrobe. You know, to where, okay, if you're gonna wear socks, you have to make sure that it complements the outfit.
Makes sense.
There's a few more style minutes in the morning as opposed to having a longer trouser.
Yeah, digging around in that sock bin, making sure you got something that's gonna match up right. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, hey, before we close out, since we started off talking a little bit about sports, I mean, my sport personally, NBA basketball, that's my absolute favorite. So let's let people get to know you just a little bit. What's your favorite sport? What are you looking forward to watching this fall?
All up here is going to hate me for this. But I'm a big New England Patriots fan.
All right, you're off the show, Troy.
Yeah.
This is the last time we'll hear from Troy on The Life of a Gentleman. But it's been nice having you join us.
Look, Tom Brady went to U of M. I grew up in Michigan. You know, I always supported U of M. And right at 14, I just kind of, you know, he graduated and, you know, I kind of followed him. And then,
yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I was having this conversation in Chicago, too. One of my Lyft drivers was saying that he was a Patriots fan. And he's like, it's the best decision sports-wise I've ever made. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's been really unfair. I was like, it's crazy to get so used to winning. It's like the Lakers or something, you know? And so I'm really looking forward to football season. I love playing fantasy football. I got some of, you know, the NFL Sunday Ticket. That's pretty much the only reason why I have cable, is because DirecTV has a Sunday Ticket. Like, I love getting up Sunday morning and seeing every single game. I'll watch football all day. So
yeah.
I love football.
Yeah, and you guys can do that on the West Coast. You wake up and football comes on that early. I mean, that's got to be a great experience right there.
Yeah, it's great too, going up to like Buffalo Wild Wings, which is a good sports bar, and having on your Patriots jersey and getting heckled by everybody.
Oh, yeah. Now that I know that you're a U of M supporter too, man, I'm right here in Spartan country. This is going to put a new twist on this podcast, guys.
I know, we're rivals.
Oh, man, but no, that was fun. That was fun. Definitely, and Tom Brady, I got to give it to him. The guy's got good style, and so... Yeah, all around.
Yeah.
Man, we got an exciting fall. We got an exciting fall for the podcast. Things are really heating up. And Troy, we appreciate you coming on. Let everybody know how they can follow you and get to know you a little bit more. and follow you on Instagram stories and maybe get a peek of your bar food and your chicken wings and all that stuff that you have posted for us.
On Instagram, I'm the genuine underscore article underscore. You can see my blog at www.thegenuine-article.com. And then if you want to follow along with my custom suiting journey, it's one of one clothing on Instagram. And then the website will be soon to come.
All right, Troy, we appreciate it as always, man. Had a great time, and we're looking forward to next time on The Life of a Gent.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Guys, welcome back to my favorite portion of the show. I always say this because we get to talk to an entrepreneur that's doing amazing things in the field of fashion or business. And today we're talking to somebody who definitely can help us out in the aspect of our personal finances. And that's a must for everybody listening. So I'd like to welcome George Achampong to the show. And before he comes on, let me tell you guys, he is the president of Make Sense to Me. He is the founder of Melanin Money, and he's also the vice president of My Money EDU. So I told you, he definitely knows what he's talking about when it comes to finances. George, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for that gracious introduction, and thanks for having me on.
Definitely. Glad to have you. And you know what? We're just going to dive right into it because you have a wealth of knowledge to share. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about these companies and also why you are so passionate about finances, because it's really needed right now.
Yeah. So the reason for the different companies is because, you know, to your point, I'm very, very passionate about financial literacy. And when I first got started in the industry, you know, the company that I worked with before I had my own practice, my own firm, they wanted me to work with a certain group of people. And I don't have anything against that group of people, but those folks would have been well off anyway, right? It would basically would have been helping the rich get richer. And so for me, I had a desire to, you know, shift paradigms around, you know, money, break generational curses, keep families together, really empower, you know, I mean, candid people of color to understand what it means to build wealth. So within that, I knew I couldn't have a one-size-fits-all approach because different people are in different spaces when it comes to trying to get your money together. So Make Sense to Me is, I guess you could say, the mothership of it all. That's a financial planning firm and investment advisory practice. And that's where I serve, you know, primarily entrepreneurs, influencers, and some working professionals as a financial planner, helping them, you know, manage debt, create budgets, manage their cash flow, save for retirement, you know, all the good stuff that you tend to think about when it comes to financial planning. But because of the nature of that process, it's pretty involved and from a time perspective. So naturally, you know, I have to, as a business owner first, outside of being a financial advisor, I have to make sure that, you know, I'm able to quantify my time and my value in that space. And I know that the price point there isn't always going to be something that fits or meets the needs for everybody. But I didn't want to stop there. So I said, how else could I serve people and meet them where they work? And so I created or helped co-create a platform called My Money EDU. And My Money EDU is a financial education platform that basically, you know, anybody, regardless of where you are, can get plugged into. Because what we did is we took all of the expertise or a lot of the expertise that we have and that we go through in our planning process, and we put it in an online format. So it's not necessarily the one-on-one relationship, but you have, you know, full access to these resources that can begin to help you empower yourself financially. And last but not least, Melanin Money. You know, when it comes to investing specifically, it just seems like this big, you know, scary subject, right? Like, how do I invest? I'm afraid I'm going to lose money. You know, I feel like I have to have a lot of it to get started. So
So I wanted to dispel that myth, and I wanted to create a platform that made it tangible to let people know that they can start where they are. So Melanin Money's primary mission is to help 100,000 people of color invest their first $1,000. And so we launched that movement back in November of last year. And since then, we've helped people invest a little over $3.5 billion. So wow. We're really excited about the fact that people are taking action. And I think a large part of that is because it feels tangible. Like, oh, I can find $1,000. Even if I don't have it today, I can get that. And so it lets people start where they are. That's a little bit about those three companies.
Yeah, no, thank you for that overview. That was great. I kind of want to dive into that a little bit. There's a couple of things that stuck out. One of them being the myth, really, that people don't have enough money to get started investing. And how do you kind of present a different line of thinking for people, because that's the number one thing people say when you just have a conversation with them and you add, you know, you might talk about investing and they say, I don't have the money for that. I'm kind of on a budget right now. So what do you tell people to get them thinking more along the lines of, no, I can make this happen?
That's a great question. I think it stems from a couple of things, right? One is really mindset. You know, like, well, how do you even think differently? And you got to start off with looking at, I guess you could say, auditing your current lifestyle, right? Like, what are all the things that you currently are finding ways to make space for, right? Like, what about that car payment? Is that a necessity? Do you have to have that car that you drive? Or did you find a way, right? Do you have to live in that apartment that you just or house that you decide to live in, or did you find a way? And so it's just really helping people understand kind of prioritize what's important. All I realize is that people are intrinsically motivated by one or two things, and that's to avoid pain or to seek pleasure, right? And so the problem with investing is it seems like the benefit is this far off in the future thing that doesn't really impact you today, right? So a lot of people aren't as motivated to do it because it's like, well, you know, it's not really affecting me today. Whereas conversely, if you think about the other things we spend our money on, they provide immediate pleasure, right? So it's like, I go out and buy this car, I get to drive it now. If I go out and buy this house, I get to live in it now. If I take this vacation, I get to experience it today. And so people have a hard time connecting themselves with the potential future pain of not making the decision that they need to make today. So one of the things I do is help paint that picture, right? Help them understand what life looks like if you don't begin to make those decisions that you need to make now. But a lot of times, you know, people are just not acting primarily because they don't feel that pain. I guess one way to look at it is if you had a very severe toothache, right? You'd probably write a blank check to the dentist office, even if you didn't have insurance. And so, you know, people have to get out of this mentality of, because it's not causing me pain today, I'm not going to take action on it. Because more than likely, what you're avoiding is going to be more substantial down the road versus if you address it today. So just really helping people understand that you have to start where you are. I would say the other piece of that is helping people find money. And what I mean by find money is, you know, when you've been looking at your current expenses, what are areas that I can adjust or cut back to get in better alignment with what I say I want out of life? In my financial planning process, we go through a process called the triple A method, and that's articulate, align, accomplish. And what I mean by that is, before anybody can really take action or change in their life, or let's just say use investing as an example, you have to know what you want life to look like. You have to really be able to clearly articulate and state that and put it on paper, because once you do that, then you can truly ask yourself and have a tough conversation. Do my actions, behaviors, and resources and everything that I'm doing align back to what I say the ideal life looks like? If it does, great, then you're on pace to accomplish, you know, your life goals. If not, you can't be surprised when things don't ultimately go your way.
Yeah, I like that. No, it makes a lot of sense. And you know what I love about how you got things set up? Man, you really took care of everybody. Those that need the one-on-one time, those that may be just getting started, just getting their feet wet. But here's another question for those that may be here. Financial planning, a lot of us kind of cringe sometimes if we're honest, because you see commercials on TV, you see movies and things like that, and people are sitting down with a financial planner. But if you're the quote-unquote average Joe, and you don't feel that you have, you know, hundred thousands and just money stacked away that you don't need a financial planner. Is that true or is that also a myth? Can you also work with people who are, you know, in their 20s, in their 30s, as they're growing their wealth or beginning those stages?
Yeah, great question. It is a myth, right? I actually center my practice around working with people who are accumulating their wealth, right? And then that's why my practice is centered around the financial planning piece versus it just being centered around the asset management, right? Because a lot of us in our 20s, early 30s, you know, mid to early 30s, we don't have a lot of wealth yet. We're still just getting started, right? And so you absolutely can work with an advisor because there's so much more to advising than just having assets and wealth and stocks and bonds, right? It's helping someone, having someone as a sounding board to help you navigate through major life decisions, right? Should I buy this car right now? Is it the right time to buy the house? I'm thinking about, transition or accepting this new role, does this make sense? Should I negotiate my salary? Like, there's a ton of things that people probably just aren't aware of that some financial advisors do, not all advisors do it, but there's a lot of, I should say, lifestyle components that an advisor, a true advisor, can really help you navigate through. So I definitely think it's something that is needed and something that younger folks should definitely take advantage of.
No, I appreciate that. It's definitely something that people need to think about. While we have you here, though, I have to ask, let's get a top piece of advice that you would give people who are just trying to get their finances in order, because you're somebody who knows, and so we want to get it directly from the source. So what's the top piece of advice?
I would say that, your cash flow is the lifeblood of your financial plan, right? It's like the fuel to your car. And so you want to get crystal clear on understanding your cash flow, what's going in versus what's coming out. When you hear that out loud, you would think that most people would know, yeah, of course I know what's coming in, but most people don't know exactly what's going out. That's why every month they look at their accounts and like, man, I feel like I should have more money, or why do I work all these hours and still feel like I don't have a lot to show for it? That's because they don't have a really good grasp of their cash flow. And so my advice would be to have a way to successfully measure your cash flow in a proactive way, right? So don't wait until the end of the month to see what happens. Right, set the intention for what you want to happen with your money for the month, and then on a weekly basis, at the top of the week or the end of the week, see how you're trending so far, right? Because you want to be able to recalibrate along the way versus, just chalking up the month once it's over and then say, I'll start again in September, right? You want
right.
to be able to, try to course correct, while the month is going on, and then base your decisions based upon where you are financially and not where you already had kind of pre-committed to, right? Like, you have to have those tough conversations. If something came up, beyond your control, you have to spend some money, there might be some commitments, right, that you have to let go of. You might have to say, hey, I know I said I was going to come out to dinner this week, but it's just not in the cards for me, but you won't have that awareness unless you are proactively engaged with what's going on with your money. So have a meaningful way to measure and track your spending, because if you don't, you have no way to know if you're on track. I guess the way I'd like to think about it is like this. If you say, I want to lose 10 pounds, right, and you don't have a scale to see how you're progressing, mm-hmm. aside from looking in the mirror and kind of eyeballing it, how do you know if you're hitting your target, right? So you have to have a measurable way of seeing how you're progressing, right? So if you say, I only want to spend, $400 on eating out this month, right? You need to have a way of measuring to see where you are week one, right? That might be as simple as, logging into online banking and just going through transactions, or maybe it's downloading an app like Mint.com, or working with an advisor who has resources that you can leverage. So that would be my top piece of advice, is be crystal clear on your cash flow.
Yeah, I like that. Write everything down on paper, on purpose, or in a spreadsheet, something like that. Track what you're doing. That's a great piece of advice. Now, last question. You mentioned at the beginning that you started your own firm, but before you did work for someone else. So the reason I'm transitioning this way is because a lot of people listen to this show, want to start a side business or want to get into entrepreneurship. So, what piece of advice would you give somebody who's currently working but wants to transition to starting something on their own?
Yeah, great question, man. There's so many different things that come to mind, but I'll try to keep it to maybe something that is most impactful. It's actually pretty simple. And I would say keep your lows high and your highs low. And what I mean by that is when you become an entrepreneur, I don't care how great of an entrepreneur you are, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be highs and lows. And so when you're in a season of working where you are still, you know, able to control exactly what's coming in, let's just talk about cash flow, you know, take this time to really humble your lifestyle, really stack up some cash reserves so that when you step out on your own, you don't have, because you're going to have two monkeys on your back. You're going to have the monkey of, man, I'm trying to figure out and navigate this entrepreneurial thing, which is a monkey I don't think ever jumps off. You're always trying to figure it out, but you have that monkey on your back. But then you don't want the burden on your back of, you know, being tight for money and not being able to make ends meet, right? So make sure you feel very secure in being able to step out there by, you know, taking the proactive process of humbling your lifestyle now, scaling back what you can, stacking up some money, and not having too much lifestyle to account for when you start your business. Because when you start, what's going to make it hard for you to grow is not necessarily placing your business being profitable early, but it's how many things am I responsible for financially as I'm trying to grow my business. And if I have, you know, fewer things that I'm responsible for, then that's going to put less stress and burden on you having to be profitable so early in your business you can maintain the integrity of what you're building. I think where a lot of businesses end up thriving is when they're able to truly maintain the integrity of what they're trying to build. Where you see a lot of businesses who are strapped for cash, they'll pivot or do things that aren't in alignment with their brand because they need to make a quick buck. And that's not a good long-term strategy. So make sure you just are well prepared. I'm not saying wait until you have, you know, $50,000 saved up, but just feel good about where you are, humble your lifestyle if possible, be willing to make the sacrifices prematurely so that you can, you know, be level-headed when you go into entrepreneurship and not feel like you have, you know, too much burden on your back.
Man, another great piece of advice. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure the audience does as well. Hey, George, I want to thank you so much for coming on The Life of a Gentleman. Thank you for your time. But before you go, please, I want to encourage everybody to follow you and to learn more about your resources. So how can people get in touch with you, your website, and your social media, of course?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I do have quite a few different things going on, so I'll keep it simple. You can just, you know, check out my personal page and you'll be able to find most of everything from there, whether it's in my bio or the things that I post. So on Instagram, you can find me at George Achampong Jr. And that's GEORGEACHEAMPONGJR on Instagram, and same on Twitter. My primary website is makesensetome.com, and that's MAKESCENTS, the number 2, ME.com. And that's where you can find the bulk or a lot of my financial resources. And anything else that you're looking for, I recommend you checking out my personal Instagram page, and you can find both of what you're looking for there. Would love to connect with you. You know, I'm not fancy, so you can send me a DM. Emails are welcome, but if you want to slide the DMs just to say hello or ask a question, you know, I'm more than welcome to answer that, and would love to connect with the audience for sure.
All right. You guys heard it. Don't be shy. Reach out. This guy definitely knows what he's talking about. George, thank you so much for your time, and we certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is going to do it for this edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. So glad you were able to tune in. Really, really appreciated the information that we received. I think all of us can walk away saying that we learned something today, and that's very important. So I want to thank George Achampong for coming on, talking about financial wellness. Definitely get in touch with him. There's more information in the show notes, so you can link to all of his different websites and businesses. Also want to send a special thanks out to Troy, the Genuine Article, for coming on and discussing different body types and how we can look our best no matter what our build happens to be. And that's a big thing, especially heading into fall. This is the fashion season where everybody really can step it up and kind of show off their style and personality. And with those tips, we'll be able to do it in the right way and really stand out and turn heads in a crowd. Guys, also, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. It's the best way to keep in touch with the show, and we get a new episode to you every Monday at 3 p.m. So looking forward to getting another show out to you next week. Next week, we'll actually have a special episode where we're talking to a former NBA superstar and somebody who has a world championship in the NBA level and also on the NCAA level. So you won't want to miss that. And he's done something really extraordinary that he doesn't get enough credit for, and that's start a school. So that maybe gives you a hint who it is. And that's all the teaser we're going to put out there for now. But I think you're really going to enjoy that conversation next week. And also, don't forget about the free book that I have going right now. It's a free book. It's a book that I put out a few months back. It's called From Idea to Income, 5 Reasons You Need a Side Hustle. You can link to it at thegentway.com, or you can also get it through my Instagram at The Life of a Gent. So either way you want to pick that up, you can do that. Also, get in touch with us on our show page at Gentleman's Podcast on Instagram and send us a message there, especially if you have a show idea or you have a business or product that you want to showcase. You can do that. Just reach out. And a lot of you have been reaching out with style tips. Continue to do that as well. We are an open book. We want to keep this dialogue going. We want to really push forward the life of a gentleman. And with your help, we'll do that. So please tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a family member. I don't care. Just tell somebody about this show, because if you enjoyed it, they'll probably enjoy it too. And we really appreciate that as well. So guys, until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties, lapel pins, and much more. Join the monthly subscription club where you will receive 1 necktie and 4 accessories for $25. To learn more, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com.